You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Things aren't always by the books, so you got to be able to be strong enough and go with the flow, go with what you believe in. And I guarantee when you put all your focus into something, there will be results, you know? And if they aren't the results that you wanted, which is life, you make adjustments again and you keep going and you figure it out. But that's the constant battle. You just got to keep going. People are going to say things no matter what, but you got to stay focused.
Welcome to the Black Business of Broadway, a podcast brought to you by the Broadway League and Black to Broadway. Here, we highlight the stories, how-tos, and successes of the Black professionals and legends of Broadway. I am your host, Janine Scott. Before I start with our introductions, I want to say that this podcast is about celebrating the Black leaders of Broadway and encouraging and inspiring those at the forefront of their journey. So today, I have joining me brand designer James Jones and composer, playwright, and musical director Justin Payne. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, and by the way, let me say this. The graphics and logo you see and the music that you enjoy right here on the Black Business of Broadway were created by these two gifted individuals. So, James, you mentioned sparking excitement through your work in your bio. And I was definitely excited when I saw your logo that you created for the Broadway League's Juneteenth celebration in Times Square last year.
Yes.
So can you tell me what sparked your interest in becoming a brand designer?
I was always doing it from when I was young, but I didn't realize what it was until much later in my life. So when I was young, I used to sit on the computer for hours, just technically designing t-shirts and whatnot. And the first graphic design piece, I would say, was Obama Times magazine and a Roy Lichtenstein type of style. So it was like really colorful. And I just had no clue, really. I went on to college and I studied fashion design. And my very last semester, I go down to the computer labs to finish up some work. I hear somebody over talking like, hey, yeah, graphic design. So I'm like, graphic design? Yeah, this person worked at Nike. I'm like, worked at Nike? Doing what? So then I looked at the whole catalog of majors at NASA. I'm like, oh, graphic design. I'm like, oh, this is what I wanted to do. But it was too late. I was graduating like literally like the next month. I'm like, all right, cool. So from there, I just started to really throw myself into graphic design. And I'm talking about hours on hours, countless hours. To where I started to understand, like, oh, this is really a thing. Like, you can get paid for this. And, like, there's a reason for all of this stuff. So I really did my research and, like, crafted myself and crafted and still continue to craft because I want to continue to learn. And I know that it's a never-ending process. So that's what draws me. And it's literally something I do every day. There's not a moment where I'm not thinking about design, reading about design, or designing. So I guess that's really where it came from, just my passion.
Yeah. Well, Justin, I mean, the audience can't see you, but I can see you like nodding like aggressively, like, yes, me too, me too, me too. So, you know, when telling your story, where would you say your love of the arts began?
So as a young African-American male with a Christian family, you know, music was forced on me, you know, growing up in the church. So I had to sing in church choir. And so it wasn't something that I would say that I necessarily loved, but, I'll say like the official start, and this is interesting, the official, like where my love of the arts and music really sort of grew, like the seed started to come above the ground was, when I was in eighth grade, our teacher, show choir teacher, took us to see the touring Broadway show Lion King. So we got to see it at the Orpheum in Omaha, Nebraska. And that was my first time like really seeing people like me on stage singing and dancing and like the puppetry, and I was just like amazed. And so then, you know, fast forward a year later, I'm in high school and I still didn't think that singing was really cool, you know, because my friends were in sports, but I wasn't. I was the band kid. That first year, I was really encouraged by my teacher and kind of forced really to try out for the school musical. And we were doing Little Shop of Horrors. So my first official role on the stage was the voice of Audrey II as a freshman in Little Shop of Horrors. And like from there, like the rest is just history. So, but yeah, like James was saying, like it's just kind of starts when you're young and you just find ways to sort of develop and cultivate it. Like I didn't really have access to like laptops or anything like that, but the school that I went to, they had after school programs where you could learn GarageBand, learn music production. And so I would literally stay after school for hours just learning how to, you know, cut tracks and produce tracks in GarageBand, and just kept learning. And yeah, it grew into what I'm doing today.
That's awesome. So awesome. James, I want to bring you back in, because when we think brand designer, we think graphic designer, you know, our thought isn't Broadway by default.
Right.
So what
right.
made you decide to combine the two? And what does that look like to you?
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. Yeah.
What happened was I was actually referred to you guys, to the Broadway League, and I was prepared for it because of all the work that I did put in. And then once we actually had to do the Juneteenth project, when you guys presented me with it, I was ready for it, more than ready for it, to be able to be confident to deliver on that project. But did I know that that's where I would end up? And then even today, it still hits me like, wow, that was really displayed all across Manhattan and Times Square. And it's like very surreal and like almost unbelievable for me. And like just being from where I come from and just having that opportunity has opened the floodgates for me. So I think that's like, I knew I was prepared for it, but didn't know that that would actually happen, or I didn't know how it would happen.
You said, you know, you were prepared, and you talk about the hours of studying and studying and studying. And I think that's just spot on. You have to be ready when they call. And so you have to constantly feed your craft and constantly work on your craft. And that's what you've been doing, you know, and Justin, as a writer, composer, and director, you know, Broadway is seen as the pinnacle for you. But we know that the journey looks different, you know, for everyone. You know, James just said that he had no idea that his path was going to lead to Broadway, but now he's here, and it's a surreal moment. And so you are on this journey, you're on this path. What would you say that you've had to overcome, or what are you overcoming, and who or what is keeping you going as you push for that goal of Broadway?
One of the main things I had to overcome was like my own expectations, because like James said, he was prepared when Broadway called. And so I always, like early on, I had the idea that people would call and then I would get to cultivate it like after I got the call. But it's like you have to get working and really, really hone and develop the gift so that when they do call, you're not like an amateur when you step into the room with the professionals. Like you have had, you've had opportunities that you've practiced in. And so you don't look foolish when you get that opportunity. So the biggest thing for me to overcome was like my own expectations. And I had to just break down all of those expectations and say, all right, this is what you have to work on, and this is how you have to get there. And so in order to do that, you literally just have to just grind away at it daily. And the biggest thing that is keeping me going right now, I would say, is my faith, and then my grandmother. Like my grandmother pours, both of my grandmothers did, but my grandmother, my mom's mom, she's poured so much into me as it relates to like positivity and just money and support over the years. And she's always said, like, when you get that mansion, I need my grandmother's suite. Like, so you got to get it together. So, you know, she's one of my biggest supporters outside of like my wife and the rest of my family. But, you know, those are two of the things that are really keeping me going.
Yeah. And James, what about you? What's motivating you? What's keeping you going on this journey?
I think I'm mostly like a self-motivated person. Like I didn't really have, I guess, my parents, they ran their business. And I got to see that. I got to take part in that. And then my path that I'm on now, and also my uncle, I believe he did like a little bit of tailoring. So I guess like it all intertwines and connects somewhere. But for the most part, I've known what I wanted to do myself, like for myself and the things that I've always been like very sure. So like my path and what I'm doing, I'm like one of the first in my family to be on that creative path and not turning my head towards anything else, you know? So like I'm like the first of my family to be on this journey, and I hope to like be successful at it so I could lead my family members on and show them like, hey, there's a different way. You don't have to go with the norm, you know?
Yeah. So let's stay there for a minute, because you both mentioned family, and you know, James, you mentioned the first to go down this creative path. What, and we historically know, you know, what our family thinks of the arts, and we're all secretly laughing. not every family member thinks that, but we know that generationally, and in our culture, majority of our folks, when we say arts or creative, they're like, you better get a job.
A real job.
Right. How is that? How do you combat that? What do you say? Because there are younger youths out there that are hopefully listening to this podcast who may not have the strength that you all have, you know, to continue to go down this road. Or maybe you didn't always have, you know, this sureness about you. So what do you think about that? What do you say?
I would say that you have to believe that wherever you plant a seed, that garden will eventually feed you one day. And so just never stop sowing seeds, no matter how hard it is. Just, you know, keep sowing those seeds, because there is going to be a return on all the investments that you make into yourself and all the investments that people make into you. And I just kind of, I think back on like, you know, seeing my mom and dad and my grandmother come to support me at like different shows. They would come to choir concerts, and it wasn't always the same as, you know, the support that was for like the sports people in my family, but they were still there. And I think now that I'm older, now that they see how much it has paid off, and it is paying off, and it will pay off, their appreciation has definitely grown. So, you know, to the young people that, you know, feel discouraged, like this is not a normal path. That's very true. It's not a normal path, and it doesn't have to be, because, you know, normal doesn't yield greatness. So, you know, stay with it.
I love that. Normal doesn't yield greatness, James.
I would say literally just stick to your path. You could do your best to explain it as politely as possible. Like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is how this works. But like, I guess very forgiving when somebody doesn't understand, because I didn't always understand what it was. So I know it's hard for another person to kind of grasp what it is that I do. But at the end of the day, I would say what Jay-Z said, you can't listen to anybody. Everybody is scared, right? Our parents just want the best for us, right? They just want to, hey, get that job, secure your future, get that home, you know? And all those things, we get it, you know? But there's a different way to it, especially now in this day and age, when especially like you saw how COVID hit us, and then we had this wave of working at home. For me, it was great. I'm like, oh, I was doing this already, you know? And then a lot of people had to make an adjustment. So just as fast as things can adjust, you know? And I think some people, they're stuck in the past. Like, it was get a job, go to college, do this, boo, 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 buy the books. But things aren't always by the books. So you got to be able to be strong enough and go with the flow, go with what you believe in. And I guarantee when you put all your focus into something, there will be results, you know? And if they aren't the results that you wanted, which is life, you make adjustments again and you keep going and you figure it out. But that's the constant battle. You just got to keep going. People are going to say things no matter what, but you got to stay focused. So that would be my advice.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah. So at the top of the show, I mentioned you both taking a creative role in the genesis of the Black business of Broadway. And Justin, you did the music. So can you tell us what was your inspiration in creating the music behind the podcast?
So real quick, funny story. So I have been creating a lot of music for potential podcasts, commercials, you know, advertisements. And I was a part of, or I still am a part of a group of people that create music for that. And for the last year, I've been creating these really, really, I believe that they're like bangers for these shows. Like, come on, pick my music. And it's been no after no after no after no. But talk about, you know, James saying cultivating the gift and making sure that, you know, you're on your game. I had to go through that whole year of creating all of these hype podcast, commercial advertisement, like little 30 second bits to get to you reaching out to me to say, hey, you know, I'm about to do this podcast. We need some music. What's up? And so it was like, oh man, I got a whole, like I got a bunch of music. And so, you know, I just took some ideas from some of the pieces that I put together and then made it fresh for this opportunity. So yeah, it was just I had been doing it, so I was just already in the vein. And then when you said it's the Black business of Broadway, I'm like, okay, how can we make this cool? Like, how can we make this Black? You know, so
yeah.
So that's what we came up with.
And James, you did the design and the logo, and what was your creative process?
My creative process, honestly, I let the words tell me honestly what to design. So I believe in my theory is like, every word has its where it's what it's supposed to look like. And so you guys gave me what the title was, what the title treatment was. And I took that and I found the perfect look for it. Then from there, it was the use of the Ndenkara symbols. So usually you're like, hey, lay it out in just like a static form. I'm like, no, I can't do that. So what I did was I found a pattern that I felt would work best. And I actually tied it to luxury. It was inspired by Louis Vuitton. So we know what that represents in the Black culture as well. Like, and I feel like that's what the podcast does. We're trying to elevate our minds, elevate our thinking. So that tied to luxury is like what we're trying to emulate and what we're trying to get to that highest level and just being the best. So the pattern is overlaid over the curtains, and I feel like everything just came together.
Can you talk about the Ndenkara symbols and which ones you decided to use and why? Because we sent the whole list of Ndenkaras, you know, and it was like, go, do what you got to do. And wait, you came back with,
for sure. Yeah. So one of the symbols, the Ndenkara symbols that I chose was affluence, right? Represents power, abundance, plenty, and togetherness, right? Unity. So this podcast is here to bring us together and create that sense of unity. So we have a symbol that represents that. The other symbol that I chose is also another symbol that represents community, but the difference is how one's growth can aid another. So we have two professionals, right, Justin and James, and we're talking here from our experiences, our professional experiences, and giving game to the listeners. So that's another symbol. Then we have interdependence, right, which meaning that when a listener hears, they have to want to be open and listening, or want to, I guess, find this podcast to listen to it, to be open to that knowledge. So that's interdependence. The next symbol I chose was wisdom. That's where we're all here to gain. I'm learning something from everybody here, right? Speaking, and we're teaching, and the listeners are also learning from us. So we have the symbol of wisdom. And I combined all of them because that's what the podcast represents in totality.
Awesome. Thank you. So in combining all of those things, in combining your gift, James, and in combining your gift, Justin, together, you know, I want the listeners to know the intentionality that was put in putting this podcast together. And it's not just about informing the audience, but there's a lot of symbolism, and there's a lot of layers, just like there's a lot of layers to our history and a lot of layers to who we are. And I just want to say thank you for the work that you both did in contributing to the success of this podcast. So at the end of each episode, we ask our guests for a piece of advice to the future leaders of Broadway. And so I have a clip that I want to play from, it's a snippet of a clip from one of our most recent guests. And I'd like to hear your thoughts. So I'm going to pull it up and play it for you really quick.
Go for it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it. This thing is a blank page for you now. You have got groups of legends who are putting together things in places so that you won't have to go through this. So you need to know how to read a contract. Don't just let your agent read a contract. You need to know how much you are worth.
So that was James Monroe Iglehart, who won the Tony for being the genie, for his role in The Genie in Aladdin. How does that resonate with you as the future Black leaders of Broadway?
So I think it definitely like goes back to what I was saying, just be a pioneer of your path and stick to it, and also learn as much as you can. You got to be every part of your business. I've been every part of my business, so from the bottom to the top. So there's nothing that I don't understand when I'm approached with something. And I think that's about like, that's literally how you level up. You cannot level up by jumping steps and skipping steps, and you gotta one step at a time, and you'll eventually become like the best version of you.
Yeah. Justin?
So there's a line in one of the musicals I wrote that if you struggle for an opportunity, build your own table, and then people will bring their chairs. And so every opportunity that I've gotten up to this point has been, you know, people asking me, and I realized it clicked early on. It's like, if you just, like James said, be a pioneer of your own path, and then you be your biggest cheerleader. And it's almost like, you know, like a party. You create a party for yourself, and you like, you're really, really enjoying what you're doing, and you're really, really serious about what you're doing. That has like drawing potential for people to want to say, well, what is this dude doing that's so, you know, like so monumental? And then they see you, and you become visible to them. And then from there, it starts to build the opportunities for you. So absolutely, like, just go for it 100% every single day. Like, you can take days off if you need to, but like, go for it and just be like, you have to believe in yourself, and your belief in yourself will show in your work ethic. But really believe in yourself, and you know, people will believe in you.
Exactly. So can you talk to us a little, and we'll go ahead and go with you first, Justin. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now to prepare for the future? What are you working on? You mentioned a musical that you wrote. What are you working on? What else are you working on?
So I've written two musicals and composed two musicals with my collaborator, Danny Cleveland, who is a local Omaha artist and playwright in her own right. And we are currently developing those shows to get to Broadway one day. So, you know, we're starting that process of workshopping and rewriting and, you know, doing staged readings. So we're working on that. And I'm also doing a lot of music direction here at local regional theaters in Omaha, Nebraska, of which this spring is really busy for me. I'm music directing 3 shows before June. So I appreciate your prayers and positive vibes because it's a lot of work. But I'm also doing that on top of trying to develop one of my musicals, of which that I'm possibly have an opportunity with my alma mater here in Omaha. So, yeah, that's what's going on. That's what we're doing.
And what about you, James? What are you working on right now?
So I've been busy applying to jobs, just looking for that right, perfect fit corporate position. And then also I have like a couple, I don't know if you guys know what NFTs are. You mm-hmm. ever heard of it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So mm-hmm. I have a project that I'm working on that I've created the concept for. So I'm building around that. Some fashion projects as well. I just actually sat down with a good friend of mine who owns a store and I was helping him out with his concept and stuff like that. He let me know that I had helped him level up from where he was to where he is now. So I gave him some more game and tips on what he could do. So I think I'm going to be doing like a store build out for him. So that's my next upcoming projects.
So where can we find your work? You know, James, you've been doing NFTs. Justin, you've been doing musicals and plays. Where can we find your work? We'll go ahead and start with you, Justin.
You can find me on Instagram at Justin J. Leon, on Facebook at Justin Payne, TikTok as Painless. You can also find me on Spotify and Apple Music as Justin Payne.
And how about you, James?
You can find me on Instagram at jamesjones.systems. And you could go to my website, jamesjones.systems.
I want to thank our guests and you, our listeners. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend your time with me, and I am grateful. Be sure to subscribe at bpn.fm/BBB so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, tell a friend. I'm your host, Janine Scott, and we at the Broadway League hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Business of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.